It was the week before Christmas. Wombat loved Christmas. He loved the carols and the candles, the presents and the pudding. But most of all, he loved the nativity play. For as long as he could remember, Wombat wanted to be in the nativity play. At last, he was now old enough to take part. So with his heart full of hope and his head full of dreams, he hurried along to the audition. His friends were already there. Emu was bossing and fussing as usual. "Now let's get started," she said. "Who would like to be the angel Gabriel?" "I would," said Wombat. But he was too heavy to be the angel Gabriel. Bilby was chosen instead. Bilby patted Wombat on the back. "Never mind, Wombat, don't lose heart. Why not try for a different part?" "What a good idea," said Emu. "Who'd like to be Mary?" "I would," said Wombat. But he was too big to be Mary. Numbat was chosen instead. Numbat stroked Wombat's nose. "There, there, Wombat, don't lose heart. Why not try for a different part?" "Right," said Emu. "Who would like to be one of the three kings?"
"I would,"
said Wombat, but he was too short to be a king. The kangaroos were chosen instead. The kangaroos put their arms around Wombat. "Never mind, Wombat, don't lose heart. Why not try for a different part?" And so Wombat tried everything. He wanted to be Joseph, but he was too sleepy. He wanted to be the innkeeper, but he was too clumsy. He wanted to be one of the shepherds, but he was too short-sighted. And then there were no parts left. Wombat hung his head and hoped that he wouldn't cry. Suddenly, Bilby leapt up into the air. "I know, you could be Jesus."
"Could I?" asked Wombat. "Could I really?"
"Of course you could," said Emu. "Fancy me forgetting such an important part. A nativity without Jesus is no nativity at all." Christmas Eve arrived. Everyone was nervous, everyone except Wombat. He lay quite still throughout the whole performance. He even fell asleep, just like a real baby would. On Christmas Day, when everyone was opening presents and eating their pudding, they all agreed it was the best nativity ever. "You were divine, Wombat," said Emu, and Wombat beamed. So there you go. Good story, isn't it? Thanks, Memfox. It's fun, and it's onto something, isn't it? It's true. Jesus really is the key. He's central to the story. Can't have the story without him. We wouldn't be here without him. All the carols we've been singing are all about him. In fact, so important is Jesus that we are even calling on people to believe in him. This Christmas, we're asking people to trust or put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's how important he is. But why? Why would we do that? What makes him so important? What makes him so central to the story? What makes him so key that we would even call on people to believe in him? Well, in the few short minutes that I have with you, we're going to look at this very famous Christmas book. It's called Isaiah. Many of the hymns and the carols that we've been singing tonight come straight out of Isaiah. So we're going to look at this famous Christmas book, Isaiah, to see what it says about the famous Christmas person, Jesus. Isaiah was written well before Jesus, by the way, worth knowing that. But it speaks about him in advance to get people ready for his coming. So we're looking at the famous Christmas book, Isaiah, to see what it says about the famous Christmas person, Jesus. And for starters, have a look at sentence number 6. So if you had a Bible given to you, you can look down at the sentence number 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Do you see what it's saying there? First of all, he's a wonderful counselor. And that is so good that he would be a wonderful counselor. Because the people in this time, in this day, they didn't even have a good counselor. But he's going to be to them a wonderful counselor. That means he's going to be like God himself in their midst. He's going to come among them and he's going to speak things that are true and lovely. He's going to speak things that are right and deeply satisfying.
to the hearts of the people. You know, sometimes truth is seen as a bit of an ugly thing, and I agree with that. It can be ugly when it's spoken of in an ugly way. You know, truth's just, you know, it just smashes you right in your face or something. But not with him. He speaks truth in a way that's deeply satisfying, and it properly accounts for reality, like God himself. And see, that's the second thing that he'll be. Look, he's a wonderful counselor, and then he's mighty God. That means he has the power of God on his side, at least. Right? It means that at least, though in my preparation this week, many of the books that I read, they think it's saying more. That's saying he's God himself. Then, what's the next thing? He's an everlasting father. Can you see that there? Many kings of ancient times, they saw themselves as the father of the nation. Many kings of these times viewed themselves in that way. He will be that. He will be this father of the nation, this leader of the nation, and he will be that forever and ever. And then finally, he's the Prince of Peace. This is the really well-known one that we say at this time of year. By his work, by his efforts, by the things that he does, peace will rule over all things. In fact, it says, of the increase of his kingdom and rule, there will be no end. So put all that together, he's not just going to maintain peace. I mean, we can't even do that. That's impossible for us. We have peace for 5 minutes and then it explodes. He's going to maintain peace. No more. He's going to grow peace. He's going to continue peace and expand peace. And it will go on forever and ever, now and forever and ever. A never-ending kingdom of peace, a never-ending rule. That is who Isaiah was looking forward to. And that is who we can now say has come. Do you know, elsewhere, if we went back a couple of pages, we won't do it now, don't worry. We went back a couple of pages, Isaiah calls him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And there, in that passage just a few chapters before, the focus is on his name. The name that he would have, the name that he is given. It's the name that matters. It's the title that counts. But you know, here in this passage, we're not even worried about his name anymore. It doesn't matter what his name is. This passage is all about what he does, what he will do for the people. It's not what he is called. It's his actions. Because of what he will do for the people, he will be like a beam of light shining in the darkness. Because of what he will do for the people, he will be like a beam of light shining in the deepest darkness. Just look back at sentence 2. I'll show you. Sentence 2. This is a really famous verse. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. See, in Isaiah's time, people were in big trouble. Boom, boom, you know, boom, gloom, doom. It was all around. It was terrible. And here's the thing, the surprising thing, it was the Lord God himself who was against them. It was the one who they had actually rejected who was coming down opposed to them. That they had turned their back on God and they had actually trusted in what was false. They had actually turned away from God and they trusted in what was feeble. So I've written here, they trusted what was false and they feared what was feeble. They didn't look to God, they looked to other things, made up things. They had it all back to front. Instead of looking to him, they looked over these other feeble, false things. And so because of their ways, the land had become doom and gloom, trouble and fear, and the Lord himself was against them. Now, I'm not going to go into all the history for you behind it, but there was a threat on the horizon. There was a major massacre that was coming toward this people. The darkness was great, but what's this passage here saying? The light would come and be greater. The darkness is powerful, but the light would come and have even more power. When you understand the darkness that these people were facing, and then when you understand the beam of light that would shine in, you can see that this figure that we're talking about here in this passage, truly amazing. When you understand how deep and the darkness and gloom and how bright the beam of light he would be, only someone amazing could be this. And so look at our sentence 6 again. Sentence 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. See, on the day that he was born, it was like a sunrise. On the day that he was born, it was like the clouds breaking apart and this great beam of sun just shining through. Doom and gloom fled away, are gone forever and ever, because he was such a great hope. He was a beautiful saviour. He was a wonderful counsellor. He was a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace, and his kingdom would go on forever and ever and grow on forever and ever. On the day that Jesus was born, it was like a sunrise. Not that all the problems of the world would just instantly vanish, of course, and not that all the problems of our own lives would just instantly evaporate, but he would do his wonderful work, starting with his people, and it was going to spread out. It was going to start in their lives and spread out and out and out and out until one day it would be all in all. One day it will be all in all. And his work will be seen for what it is. Guys, you're here today. As Wilbur said, welcome. We welcome you. We welcome everyone. This is the first time I think we've done a Christmas Eve service. So how good's that? Welcome to you. He will be those same things to you as well. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He'll be that for you too. You know, we can read and listen to Jesus' teaching, and we can hear its lovely truth, its wonderful counsel. Now, reading and listening to Jesus' teaching, that's like walking into an Aladdin's cave. It's so marvelous. It catches your eye. It takes your breath away. We can read and hear about the things that he did to heal and restore people. You know, mighty God amongst them, everlasting Father. Although he didn't just heal and restore people, did he? He actually went by many, many sick people and didn't stop to heal and restore because he had something better, greater to do. Because going on from that, we learn of his death, which, do you know, that is spoken of as a death in our place. It's actually for us, where we should have been, to set us free. And then importantly, he rose up out of death so that he would have life in himself forever and ever, and so that he could be over a kingdom that goes on forever and ever. Because he has life in himself forever and ever. And he shares that life with all who come to him and believe in him. Let tomorrow be a sunrise for you. See, on the day he was born, it's like the sun had risen. Let tomorrow be a sunrise for you. Christmas Day, the light shining through. Doom, darkness driven away, hope coming into your life. Just as he came into the world on the very first Christmas day, let him come into your life as well. Why don't you? And we know that he's worthy of your trust. We know that he's worthy of your belief in him. Look at all that he is. Look at the list of things that he is. How the darkness and the hopeless things were just blown away. We know that he's worthy of these things, that worthy of your trust. So let tomorrow be a sunrise for you. Do you know, there's so many things that you can do to keep on chipping away at believing in Jesus. Maybe you do believe in Jesus. That's fantastic. Keep on chipping away at it. Keep on seeking to grow and know more about him. Maybe you don't yet believe in Jesus. Same. There's many things you can do, even here at church. Next week, January 1, we're going to look at some more of this book of Isaiah. So why not come back again? Also, we've got a welcome table there. I'm sure Wilbur's going to go through all this. I'm just stealing your thunder, aren't I? We've got a welcome table there, and you can sign your name, get connected with a Bible group here. We've got books that you can take. So if you don't want to talk with other people, it's like, oh, I don't want to talk to them. Right. Take a book, talk to the book, yell at the book. We have two different types of book. We've got the beginner book, and then the more academic sort of intermediate book that you can look. I know you respect Isaiah's words. I know you respect Jesus Christ. This is the best way to keep on considering and respecting him, is by listening and taking care to his words. Jesus, he's the center of it all. You cannot have the story without him.